Chicago. This is your morning routine.
Put some respect on my name.
Cap and J-Hood.
That's right. That's right. We're bad.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app and on FM 100.3 HD2 and on ESPN 1000 Chicago. Now. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Bring them out. Bring them out. Woo! Bring them out. 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 Bring them out.
Oh, God. Welcome in to the Cap and J-Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000, and we're streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you, we've got Shay, we've got Jay Moore, we got you for a three-hour ride on this Deal Breakers Thursday with open phone lines for you at 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our telephone number. And Cap, before we came on Sportsmanlike with Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman and Chris Canty, we're talking about a piece that was on ESPN.com regarding quarterbacks and their future destinations here this offseason. And they start off talking about Justin Fields. And, of course, any time that you hear anything about our teams, especially nationally, you get the volume on the truck or your vehicle, and you just turn it up a little bit more, right? If it's at a nice 14, 15, oh, wait a second now. What are they saying? You turn it up to about 25 to make sure you get it all, right? You want to make sure you hear it all. And they were talking about destinations for Justin Fields. And I said, wait a minute. Does this show in Sportsmanlike that comes on before us feel like Justin Fields is moving on? They already have destinations for Justin Fields. It's interesting because you take a look at social media over the last, I don't know, 5 to 7 days, not a lot of chatter about Justin Fields as of late.
In the Justin Fields fan club out there that is very vocal on social media, the stands have been conspicuously absent to the degree they were maybe a month ago. There's no way the Bears are taking Caleb. There's no way they're trading Justin. Boy, you've gotten awfully quiet out there. Is it a fait accompli? I think so. I truly believe they're taking Caleb Williams. And the more I talk to people who are in the league, that we've made these contacts over the years. One of them I went to college with. He's like, dude, stop. There's no chance that you are trading that pick and keeping Justin. And there was a report out of Denver yesterday. They might be willing to give you Patrick Surtain, all-pro corner, and a bunch of draft capital if you give them the number one pick. And I said to a buddy of mine, he's like, should we do that? No. Because if Sean Payton, who was one of two guys, he and Andy Reid, to identify Patrick Mahomes, if they're willing to give you all that, you got to stop for a second, use your brain, and go, well, if they're willing to do that, boy, they must really love that quarterback. Why do I not want him? We want one of those. No. You're going to take a quarterback. And I was listening to a really good interview on Waddle and Sylvie yesterday with Adam Johns from The Athletic.
Sure.
And the Hogan Johns podcast. He's been all over the beat for a long, long time. And Waddle and Sylvie said, so what do you think the Bears do? He said, they're taking a quarterback at number one. They are. I watched some stuff on Michael Penix yesterday.
Sure.
He's an awesome guy. Awesome. And to listen to him talk football, I'm like, well, I'd like one of those. But he's had two ACLs and two non-throwing shoulder surgeries on his left shoulder or right shoulder because he's a lefty. And that's why he's going to fall. You going to take that chance on his health? I'm not.
No, not the Bears, but it's up to him to be able to change the narrative there in his career. Like, okay, I know I've gone through a lot of injuries, but I can help a ball club. Just not the Bears at this point in time.
Correct. He's not the number one pick.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there and he's on the board at 22, maybe you roll the dice. He's got a lot of talent. But I have not found one person who is in the know, who covers the league or works in the league. Not one. Other than former players. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Cutler. That, Oh, yeah, I would trade the pick and keep Justin. You talk to people who evaluate for a living, they're like, dude, it's not close. Stop.
Now, for the Lance Briggs and for the Jay Cutlers and others.
Lance
that,
is another.
Yeah, that talk about this cap. You know, from their standpoint, they just believe in camaraderie and they believe in keeping things together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about some fans, and again, as some fans are afraid of what's on the other side. You get comfortable and you start liking your athletes. You enjoy watching. You enjoy the process.
Mm-hmm.
You know, trust the process, right? So there are some that look at Justin Fields and they say, okay, you know, I see an opportunity for this young man to be able to blossom if he has weapons around him, the offensive line, and weapons at wide receiver, and just the infrastructure from an offensive coordinator standpoint where he can be able to jibe with the coaching staff and the team and that he can finally break through to be the quarterback we think he could be. I can understand that standpoint or that viewpoint from former players because they're like, ah, we know it's like when a rookie comes in. It's like, oh, we have to wait for the rookie to develop while we're already advanced. There's something to that, Cap. Mm-hmm. There's something to that. It's like, I'm a 5 or 6 year veteran. This guy's a rookie. How can we catch him up to speed? Do I have to continue to just stand still waiting for this quarterback to finally come up to speed for him to come into his own? I'm already here. I'm already in my prime. This guy is a rookie. What are we supposed to do now? I understand that viewpoint. However, when you look at what's happened with Justin Fields, it's not like he hasn't had the opportunity to be able to change the narrative and turn the page on his career where it's like, okay, yeah, we tanked, but now I'm healthy enough to help, and I can't seem to be able to read the defense on a regular basis enough to make a difference for the Bears. I'm out there, but I can't make the difference I really want to. And you could blame Luke Getsy, you could blame the offensive line, you could blame, but ultimately, the guy with the ball in his hands the lion's share of the time can't seem to get right, can't seem to get over the hump. And this is why more than likely the Bears will make a change at quarterback. Because it's just stagnant. It's not horrible, but it's standing still. And I think some veteran players look at it and say, I'm advanced, but this guy's in the same spot.
Yeah, when you look at the NFC North, and let's assume Minnesota brings back Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Let's just assume that. He may not, but let's assume that. You're fourth at quarterback. That's just a fact. I'm not saying who the fastest runner is, the highest jumper, the most exhilarating off-platform. I'm talking about being the leader of your football team and knowing, hey, man, there's a minute 32 left, and I got to take you 60 yards to get the game winner. Let's go. Jordan Love, everyone in the league would take him over Justin. Jared Goff. Everyone at this point, and his numbers bear it out, would take him over Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins, 6 4,000-yard seasons. They would take him in terms of productivity. I know Justin's younger and somewhat healthier. That's not good enough here.
No.
Well, if you got rid of that horrible Luke Getsy and you draft Marvin Harrison Jr. and Brock Bowers, Green Bay doesn't have receivers like that. And it looks a hell of a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are we doing here? You got a kid sitting at number one.
Sure.
David Shaw, I played it with you yesterday. You got it there. It's a shortcut. It's 15 seconds. David Shaw, who coached Andrew Luck, has evaluated players for the NFL for a while, said, okay, Andrew Luck's the only 10 out of 10 that I've evaluated or coached.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one 10 out of 10 that I've seen, and that's Andrew Luck.
Mm-hmm.
When Trevor Lawrence came out, I thought he was the best since Andrew. Caleb Williams is the best since Andrew. Mm-hmm. If he's not a 10, he's a 9.99999999.
I mean, it's awfully tough to have the fourth best quarterback in the division, hear a guy who I respect greatly, David Shaw, say that,
mm-hmm.
and he's not the only one. It's not like he's the only guy that likes everybody. Dude, that guy's generational. That guy, you got to develop him, but he's got everything you could want. And we got people in town that go, nah, I'm good. Trade it. Get me 5 more picks. First of all, what is the hit rate on first-round draft picks getting a second contract? Like 50%.
Yeah, and not very good around here lately.
Oh, God. I mean, I can't think.
We went through that list.
We haven't had a first-round pick get a second contract in forever.
Yeah. We went to that. It's a very short list.
Correct. So if the hit rate is 50%, I don't care how many draft picks you trade him for. Doesn't mean you're going to hit on every one of them. I want the star at quarterback, period. And what's my best chance of getting one? Not Justin. It's Caleb Williams if he checks all the boxes. They got to do all their homework. They just put together their coaching staff. They hired an assistant O-line coach this morning. That dude was the head O-line coach in Tennessee. Like, they are spending, someone told me yesterday, dude, there's no budget on what they're paying assistant coaches at your place. They're spending.
Yeah.
Okay. That's great. Now you got to put the talent there for them to coach, because the jockey doesn't carry the horse across the finish line.
For those who have not heard Cap and I go through this list before, Bears fans, the first round picks to get a second contract with the team: Brian Urlacher, Rex Grossman, Tommy Harris, Kyle Long, Kyle Fuller. And so long, everybody. That'll right. be all.
Well, where's Leonard Floyd? Oh, he didn't get one. Where's Mitch Trubisky? Nope, that didn't work.
Yeah.
Roquan. Nope, that didn't work. Kevin White must have got us. Oh, that didn't work either.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. What are we doing here?
On Sportsmanlike with Evan, Canty, and Michelle talking about what the Bears should do with Justin Fields. Listen.
First one is Justin Fields. They have to the Raiders. That would be weird.
To the Bears?
To the Raiders. Like it or not?
I don't hate it. I just think there's a better fit for Justin Fields.
Which would be
the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yes, that's where I would like
I think
to
the Steelers are a better fit just because of them going out and getting offensive coordinator Arthur Smith, who had success with the quarterback. That was athletic with utilizing RPOs as a big part of their run game. So Ryan Tannehill had success, had a career year under Arthur Smith. I think he could do a similar thing in Pittsburgh with Justin Fields' skill set. So I like Justin Fields with Pittsburgh more than I like him with the Raiders. Although I think it would work with the Raiders, I think it would be better for Justin Fields with the Steelers, a more functional franchise.
By the way, as we delve into this, you heard what they were talking about there on Sportsman, like 5 to 7 right here on ESPN 1000 before we come on. Let's delve into it for a second. Raiders or Steelers? And it might be a different suitor. It could be Atlanta or other teams, Cap. But just think about that. Mike Tomlin working with Justin Fields. Now, you see the mess that's happening in Pittsburgh right now. It's amazing. Again, it is turning water into wine for the Steelers to somehow get into the playoffs again. Not knowing who your quarterback is from week to week, and somehow, some way, Tomlin is able to usher that team into the playoffs again. Again.
Yep.
Always over 500, always a winning record, a lot of times in the playoffs. But the point is, though, what does that look like with Justin Fields? A second act, different team with Pittsburgh, with a demanding coach in Tomlin. Oh, God. It better happen.
Right.
Because Tomlin's not effing around here, okay? He's not effing around.
Let me just put it to you this way. With Antonio Pierce in Vegas, I do not see any scenario that they trade for Justin. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I've been wrong before, and I'll be wrong again.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody I talked to yesterday said, Antonio Pierce, Justin Fields? No. He said, great kid. Not a fit in their offense. That's not who they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
So, do they roll with Aiden O'Connell? Do they draft somebody? They should have a reasonably decent pick. Do they try and trade up? We'll see. But I do not see Justin Fields and the Raiders.
Yeah. All right. Well, I just think that those two teams are interesting. I think it's more of a fit in Atlanta for me. That's why I would think that the Bears can make a deal there with the Falcons. But we'll see. I think we also should delve into this part of it as well. For Justin Fields, just as a player, and again, we're not doing postmortem. We're not burying him. We're just saying that we're talking about the reports that's out there, the opinions that are out there. And again, anything could happen with the Chicago Bears, but it just seems like it's trending toward that direction that the Bears would get a quarterback with the number one pick in this year's draft. But looking at Justin Fields as a whole, when fans call us or they send us messages, Cap, and they say, well, look at the ebb and flow of Justin Fields as a Chicago Bear, how he comes to this team and people thought that you're going to see fireworks in the sky and you just didn't get that right away. What you saw is, at times, a big strong arm, definitely utilizing his legs. He's running more than I ever saw him run in college because he didn't have to. When he had a great offensive line in front of him, he didn't have to run as much. But with this offense, he sees the holes in the defense and he runs for the first down. And so the positive is that we've seen the arm, we've seen the legs, but it's the in-between, Cap. Quarterback play is not about just running with the football or being able to throw it 80 yards. It's about being able to matriculate the ball down the field.
Yep.
We see this from whatever you think of Brock Purdy in that system, nickel and diming it down the field because he has weapons and time. We see this with Patrick Mahomes. He's the tip of the spear when it comes to quarterbacks. How he was able to, he can run too, but that's not what he does exclusively. And so a lot of this is on Fields, and it's a lot of this is on the infrastructure around him. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to shine up Luke Getsy just because Albert Breer says that he's a guy that, you know, seems coveted around the league. What I'm saying is that sometimes there's a disconnect. No matter how good an OC is, sometimes the message doesn't get through. You're a coach. You know that better than anybody else. You could say, I've got a great game plan that fits the skill set of this player that I'm coaching. And somehow, some way, whatever you say, it sounds Chinese to him. You're speaking English, and you both speak English, but it seems like you're speaking a different language.
Correct.
I told you exactly what you need to do on the floor here. I broke down the tape. Here's how you can succeed. And somehow, some way, it does not connect. Same thing here with Justin Fields, I feel. I feel like Justin Fields and Luke Getsy and Eberflus and all that, there was a disconnect there, let alone issues with the offensive line, the timing issues, the timing with his teammates. I just feel, Cap, that sometimes you just need a new address, a fresh coat of paint.
Correct.
Sometimes you just need to look at that wall and say, you know what, man, we still have a nice house, but if we just get a nice fresh coat of paint, it'll just revitalize what we have here. Same thing with Fields' career. If it doesn't work here, he needs a fresh coat of paint, and maybe someone can be able to unlock the mystery that is Justin Fields as far as him reading defenses and being able to have timing with his teammates. That's the hope for him.
With the biggest question the Bears have to ask themselves if they're taking Caleb Williams is not his ability. Because all you have to do, whether you are Justin's mother and father and brother, you can all look and go, okay, I get it. That guy's super talented. Mm-hmm. Can he handle this city? Can he handle it? Because it's not an easy place. We've never had a quarterback. We all think we know what they look like. We've never had one in our lifetime where we go, boy, I want another one of those. And can you handle the scrutiny and the media and the fan base and the pressure of being the face of the biggest team in town?
Justin could and is. He's handled it pretty well.
Correct. And he's well-liked by his teammates. He just isn't good enough as a player.
He also is, his blood pressure is always 120 over 80, too. You don't know what he's thinking half the time.
Correct.
He's same face.
Correct.
Because he's got the same face.
That's correct.
Like, outside of the dancing in the locker room, you know, when the Bears win, there's not much to Justin Fields because he's not going to let you know. You hate to play cards with that guy. He doesn't need sunglasses. He's just staring straight ahead.
Correct.
Whether they are winning or losing, it's kind of the same demeanor. And actually, that's exactly what you want as a quarterback. The guy that is even keeled. Takes a shot at the media every now and then, but that's no big thing. It's very subtle. But ultimately, he's an adult in the room, Justin Fields. Whatever you want to say about him, Cap.
He is.
That's exactly what you want.
He goes home to his French Bulldogs, and he has, you know, a good life. He just probably is not going to ever start for the Bears again.
Yeah, more than likely. Just the way things are trending right now. And I know people will hear what they want to hear at this point in time. I'm an adult with a mortgage. It doesn't matter to me. But what I will tell you is that Cap and I are not pushing him out of the door. Absolutely not. What we're saying is that the Chicago Bears are going to do what's best for the team and try to upgrade the position. And I think that that's exactly the direction they're going in. It's not just from us. Listen to all these experts and people are around the NFL. They're saying the same thing. They're saying we're moving in a different direction. They think the Bears are going to move in a different direction.
What did Albert say on Tuesday? Yeah, one of the things the Bears were telling their OC candidates when they interviewed him, the chance to take Caleb Williams.
Mm-hmm.
That's intriguing to people. I mean, do you think all these guys looked and went, boy, I really like deep dish pizza and the great steakhouses. I want to go to Chicago Cut. Guess what? I'm going to roll with Eberflus, who might be a lame duck, and I'm going to try and fix Justin in his fourth year. Really?
Yeah.
All these dudes. Thomas Brown, who's interviewing for head coaching jobs, comes here not as the OC, as the pass game coordinator. Shane Waldron could get any one of these OC jobs. I'll go to Chicago. Yeah, because if he takes Caleb Williams and he turns him into a superstar, he gets a job like that. Or if they say, you know what, we're going to change head coaches, you're the head coach. And then Thomas Brown slides into the OC job. Like, they're building a super cool infrastructure.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. Let's go to the phone lines to talk to you. We say hello to Bill in Arlington Heights on Cap and J Hood. Bill, good morning.
Hi, William.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the Caleb Williams, Justin Fields thing for a while, and I'm not one of those Bears fans that's super tied to Justin Fields, but what you guys mentioned earlier really kind of resonated with me with talking about the Bears players in the last, 20 years who had were signed to second contract.
Short list, huh, Bill? Pretty short list.
It was very short-lived, and what I wanted to correlate that to is the Bears fans out there who are apprehensive about moving on from Justin Fields, and I don't think it's necessarily that they're skeptical about Caleb Williams. I think it's that deep down in all Bears fans' heart, they are skeptical with the Chicago Bears organization's ability to draft well. And because of that, they almost want to settle for mediocrity, which is perhaps Justin Fields, as opposed to taking a risk on somebody that could be a generational talent like Caleb Williams. So I just wanted to bring that, I've been thinking a lot about it. I listen to your show every day.
Thank you.
And it's something I've been trying to wrap my head around on why Bears fans who call in, like the other day on the Waddle and Sylvie show, you had some guys that said, they brought the point up, if you could take any quarterback or any player on the Chiefs or the 49ers and replace them with any positional player on the Bears, who would it be? And, I think 2 out of 10 people said that they would not take Patrick Mahomes. Like, that's nuts. And I think that is a result of Bears fan skepticism and apprehension with trusting the Bears organization with drafting well, and we have a golden, perhaps what could be a golden nugget right in front of us, but we're scared to do it, but not so much because we don't think that Caleb Williams is good. Mm-hmm. It's more of that we're shell-shocked from the Bears' inability to draft well. With
That's fair. Well, that's fair.
That is more than fair. Yeah. That's a very lucid call, and the Waddle and Sylvie segment, they literally took 10 calls.
Yeah.
You could trade, drop one player from the Super Bowl teams onto our team. There were literally 2 people that said, I'd take the center, or I don't remember what the other position was. What about Patrick Mahomes? Nah, it takes up too much of the cap. What? Hey! Are you kidding? You're joking, right?
All these people, all these great players, the top of it, the beginning of it, it starts with Patrick Mahomes. Nah, I'll take the tight end. I'll take George Kittle. You will? Really? Really?
Let me know how that works out for you.
I'll take Deebo Samuel. You will?
Yeah, over Justin Fields. over Mahomes for Fields. That's 10 out of 10, man.
That is hilarious.
That is hilarious.
That is hilarious. And Bill, to your point, I think you speak for a lot of Bears fans that maybe have not called us yet or are thinking about what you said. I understand the skepticism. I think we all understand the skepticism because we've been there before with different regimes and saying, yep, here go the Bears, same old Bears. They're going to try to reinvent this thing through the draft and through free agency, and they're going to bungle it because we've been there before. The only reason why this is different for all of us is because these are back-to-back number one picks. Bears have never been in that stratosphere before.
Never.
That's why it feels different. Yeah. But to Bill's point, Bill is right, Cap, when he says that, hey, we've seen the Bears be able to make mistakes before in the draft. How do we know it's going to be any different? Well, we have to find out.
Correct. New GM.
Because I ain't burning my Chicago Bears sweatshirt or hoodie anytime soon.
Right. That's a sweet one that you have on. the shy football with the bear head.
I just found something blue. I didn't even know it was a bear until I got into the light.
Wow. I set my stuff out the night before.
You know, I wasn't home last night until
late.
Until 2 this morning.
But, I mean, every night I go in before I go to bed. Yeah. All right, what do I want to wear tomorrow? I'm going to go with that and that. And I get excited about what I'm going to wear.
Uh-huh. You know, yeah. I didn't have that luxury last night.
No.
So, 312.
Late flight.
312-332. ESPN is our phone number. Albany Park, here's Michael on Cap and J Hood. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
We're well, thank you. Thanks for checking in.
So I'm listening to this move in a new direction conversation. That should have started at the top. How are we going to consider moving in a new direction when we've got the same old at top? The Bears are the poster child of dysfunctional organization. If we hire this hot shot new quarterback, is he going to start? And if he's not going to start, who is he going to sit behind and cultivate for 3 years? And be quite honest, you can have the illegitimate child of Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. You put them behind that tissue paper offensive line that is the Chicago Bears, he's going to get clobbered. Dang. It is not Justin's fault that he gets sacked 9 times in 1 game. And all those running yards he's getting, he should not be doing. Because he's too busy running for his life.
Some of those sacks are on Justin Fields, actually, Michael. It's not.
I agree.
It's not. You said that none of them are. They some of them are because he sometimes holds the ball too long. And by the way, that's not just Justin Fields. A lot of quarterbacks do that because they think they can hold on to be able to make a play
on
that
platform.
And that play is not there.
Yeah, and Michael,
right.
I would tell you,
our
offensive line, Michael, is getting better. I like Darnell Wright. I like Tevin Jenkins. He's got a proving stay on the field. Braxton, solid, maybe unspectacular. They need to get a center. I'm talking a high-level center.
Left tackle. A lot of those punishments the quarterback taking are coming from the left tackle. They seem to just blow through our left tackle. Now, very specifically, you're right. Our offensive line, the right side, I saw them opening up some beautiful holes.
Yeah.
But let's face it, you know, if we get a hot shot quarterback, is he going to start and take a beating like Steele did?
Yes.
He's starting opening day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
Well, yes. Then there'd be an offensive line, and he better zip that ball away in a hurry. 2.5 seconds.
Michael,
is that going to be cultivated?
That's what they're working on. Thanks for the call, man.
Yes, of course. Well, we're hoping that offensive line is a true link fence.
You can tell he's passionate.
Oh, sure.
Now, the Bears, they've told me this, believe that another summer with Olin in the training center, toughening up, getting his base stronger, that Braxton can be a serviceable left tackle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if there's some of the mocks I looked at yesterday have Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers, Malik Nabers, and Marvin Harrison all off the board before pick 9. If that's the case, then Joe Alt is probably on the board, the left tackle out of Notre Dame, who's really good.
Which sounds like a football name.
His dad was John Alt with the Chiefs.
Joe Alt.
Yeah.
Ah.
Big guy.
Yeah.
He's 6'7". So if that's the case, maybe you take a left tackle. And can you kick Braxton inside? I don't know that. Tevin? Tevin's got to prove he can stay on the field.
Sure.
But he's really good, especially
Dragon
in the run
Slayer.
Game.
He is a Dragon Slayer. He is. But all this takes time. And I know Michael from Albany Park and all of us Bears fans don't want to hear about time or taking time. But this is what happens when you tank. This is what it looks like. Yes, I appreciate you turning the heat up for me.
Yes, it's cold in here.
I mean, what was it, 68?
64.
Hanging meat in here.
Exactly.
For God's sakes. Thank you. The super is checked in.
I got it at 70.
Ah, nice. Nah, it'd be nice and comfortable.
That's it.
Still cold from the charter plane last night.
Yes.
It's chilly on that thing.
Yeah.
Especially when you lose. 312-332. Wow. ES, very frosty. 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our telephone number. If you're on hold, you will be on the air. Cap and I want to find out from you, are we finally all in agreement that the Bears will take a quarterback at 1? Still to come, we'll talk about one of the biggest stars in sports made history in Evanston last night. That's all part of the mix on a Thursday morning on Cap and J Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap and J Hood.
All right, 7 a.m. hour brought to you by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Billy Donovan sounded resigned to the inevitable in his post-game media availability last night after the Bulls' victory over Charlotte. Sunrise Bulls writer Joe Colley, who's a great follow on social media, wrote that Donovan has no plans to approach the front office regarding any trades, prioritizing the character type of player the Bulls want over bringing in bodies. It's been feeling more and more likely the Bulls will once again do nothing at the deadline. But shot or no shot, can't blame AK or Eversley anymore. Have to blame ownership. Demand it! PFF's Brad Spielberg as Pro Football Focus offered up a couple of potential free agent wide receivers for the Bears with some uncertainty over what receivers would be available with pick 9 in the draft. Spielberger predicted former All-Pro Calvin Ridley and DJ Moore's old Washington teammate Curtis Samuel as two receivers who will see a strong push from Chicago in free agency. Shot or no shot, both these would be excellent signings for the Bears, we'll discuss. The Athletic published a detailed expose of the dysfunction that sank the New York Jets this season. We'll discuss that coming up.
Tune in.
35 years ago today, the iconic Nintendo game Tecmo Bowl was released. I don't know what that is. We'll talk about it. Is it on the Mount Rushmore of sports video games? Jay Moore.
Captain Jay Hood are back.
And you know this, man.
Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Captain Jay Hood, weekday morning, 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Hope that you're going to have a great Thursday, a great Deal Breakers Thursday. Cap, which script did you read there for the headlines?
Well, I don't have scripts, but Shay gives me headlines. He gave me his shot or no shot.
You write it, Shay. He reads
Listen,
it.
Listen, man.
See?
Ron Burgundy.
Yeah,
here.
That's right. All right, so.
I assume those were the headlines.
I could have just read it and turned around and said, hey, you gave me the wrong piece.
No, funnier that way. So now we're going to need a new batch. You got a new batch ready?
Well, we haven't discussed said batch.
No, but I mean, now we got a preview of Shot or No Shot. All of them. All of them.
That's it.
Why he didn't just turn around and say, wrong sheet, kid.
See, I would have done that. Like, hey, Shay, let me get the other sheet. You know. Not that cap though. It's on the prompter. He's gonna read it.
Oh, I just figured I would just prompter. What prompter? I haven't worked with a prompter in well over a year. That worked. Covered the Bulls. Covered what today is in sports history. We were good, man. I made it work.
Now a fresh batch of Shot or No Shot coming your way at 8 o'clock. Now that one's spoiled.
Exactly.
312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number.
I did want to send out, before we got the day going, people in their cars, the Cubs lost a valued member of their franchise last night, and he was a buddy of mine. He was an awesome guy. 50 years in Major League Baseball. He was clubhouse manager emeritus, and he stepped down from traveling with the team every game before last season. But he'd been around forever. Everyone knew him as Otis, but his name is Tom Hellman. Tom fell and hit his head last week. And he was in the hospital, and they thought he was making progress. And unfortunately, tragically, he took a turn for the worse on Tuesday night. He died last night. So the guy that everyone has heard, they talk about him on the broadcast. Otis! There's Otis down there in the dugout. Otis is gone at the age of 66. Very, very sad. As good a guy as you would ever deal with. And he ran that place. You need anything in that clubhouse? You didn't go to the players. You went to that guy.
All the best to him and his family. There's always someone that's not front-facing, Cap. That's not a manager or someone that's high-ranking in the, on the depth chart, as far as a team is concerned. But there's a guy there behind the scenes that was just helping everybody.
He told me an amazing story. He said, I didn't know what we were going to get for winning the World Series. The players get a full share. It's worth a lot of money. Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't know if they were going to give us shares. Maybe they just give us, here's a few hundred dollars. There's $1,000 or whatever. But he said, his wife calls. He goes, you got to get to the bank right now. Something's wrong with our account. What do you mean? There is a deposit in our account for $264,000. He's like, what is that? She said, it says Chicago Cubs. After taxes, that was his share from winning the World Series. The players gave him a full share. He said, I paid my house off.
Wow.
And put money away. He said, full share, like just like he was one of the players.
Classy.
Yeah. Says his wife's like, what? He called back. That's our World Series share. Yeah. Super cool.
He's a great guy because my wife would never saw that money. Back to the phone lines. Bedford Park, here's Tom on ESPN 1000.
Separate account.
Tom, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, fellas. What's going on?
What's up, Tommy?
All right, so my question is, are you going to lose the locker room if you're picking up Caleb and letting go of Justin, or what?
Well, the question we have for you is, if you got $264,000 put into your account, would you share it with your significant other? That's the question.
I would, because we just had a baby, so got to do what I can do, right?
That's it.
I'd split it there. How about that?
We only got 26,400. The decimal points off, huh?
Tom, you're in Bedford Park. You're a Southside guy. You know how to put the money in the mattresses or the sock drawer. You know how to do that.
Exactly. Hide it where they can't find it.
You're a Southsider. You know how to do that. So the locker room. Okay. Well, it all depends on who you talk to, Cap, because, Tom, we've talked to Lance Briggs, and we've heard from other former Bears about this issue. And it's never about the locker room, as far as I could tell, the analysis. It's just about, do we feel like we're standing still waiting for the rookie to come up to our level? That's the analysis I'm hearing. Do you get the same feeling?
Yeah, and as someone from who's in that locker room said to me recently, look, 25% of the team turns over every year anyway. Mm-hmm. And if Caleb Williams rolls in here, will they miss Justin? Sure. And guess what? If Caleb Williams has them playing in the NFC playoffs and he's dominating on the field, they'll be like, hey, send Justin a Christmas card. I'll see you in the offseason, or if we play you, they'll be fine. You cannot make moves because you're afraid that the players are not going to want one of their guys to go. You can't do it.
All right, Tom. We appreciate your telephone call. 312-332-3776.
Better be right who you're drafting.
Well, you got that right. I mean, that's the whole thing, right? To be able to get it right when you draft. And you just want it to be a fit, not just on the field, but culturally, if you can.
Correct.
If you can.
It's got to fit. So those are all things Ryan Poles has got to work through with Caleb Williams. Do you understand you're going into a locker room where the guy you're replacing is beloved? Yes, he's a great teammate. Can you do that? But listen to some of the videos. You can find them on Twitter. There's a bunch of players that said, oh, Caleb was a great teammate. Mm-hmm. Generous with his NIL money. They loved him.
But the elixir to all that, Cap, as you well know, is winning. If you can win with the rookie, win with the young player, then you say, Justin, you can still text him. You can still call him. Hey, man, how's everything going in Atlanta, Pittsburgh? I mean, you still love the guy, but it's not like you're going to stop playing hard just because Justin Fields isn't around.
Correct.
Or any of your favorite teammates. It's the way it works. It's a business.
It's a business. You got to put on tape what you want people to see about you.
Brian and Romeoville on ESPN 1000. Brian, you're on Cap and Jay Hood.
What's up, guys? So, here's the $264,000 question you guys were saying.
Okay.
The perfect solution to that is you take the money. You go buy what it is that you want, whether it's a boat, a motorcycle, or whatever, and then you put it in the bank account, and then you tell your significant other and be like, look, hon, it's $204,000 I've got here. You know, so it's like the best of both worlds. Once they see that big number, you're going to have trouble doing that. So that's, to me, the solution. That's best.
Well, Brian, I rolled through that Joliet Romeoville area. Nice boat you got there. I saw it in the driveway.
Yeah, your wife goes, oh, what's the boat? Where'd we get the boat?
Yeah, Brian, with that kind of money, it's not going to fit in the driveway hoodie.
It's Will County, isn't it? I mean, plenty of boats there.
No, I'm saying if you got $264,000, the boat you're going to get is probably not going to fit in the driveway anymore, right?
Yeah, oh, that's true.
It's not a little fishing boat.
All right, Brian, what else is on your mind?
I think just with the Justin Caleb Williams things, that whole discussion, I think, here's the deal with Justin. I think it's the fundamental stuff that you're just not going to get, you're kind of peaked out with that. I mean, the anticipation on the throws isn't there. you know, checkdowns aren't there. And that's just, you know, it works good at Ohio State when you can count on receiver separation from cornerbacks. But you're playing all, you know, you got cornerbacks in the NFL that just, you're not going to get that separation enough to have a consistent, you know, program with running an offense like that. You get Marvin Harrison, he's going to separate from these guys every once in a while, but it's not enough to generate consistent performance, I think. So I think you got to just move on and you know, start somewhere new.
Start fresh. That's where it's going.
Ryan, we appreciate a telephone call. 312-332-3776 is our phone number. In Dallas, Texas, listening on the ESPN Chicago app in the Metroplex, here's Jeff on ESPN 1000. Jeff, you're on Captain J. Hood. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. First of all, Techno Bowl is on the Mount Rushmore. I'm going to go ahead and slide that in. My brother, we played many games of Techno Bowl. Anyway,
yes.
My question to you guys is it a possibility that we, you know, I hear Atlanta, you know, Kuiper has that, you know, dream scenario where we trade Fields for the number 8 overall.
That ain't happening.
That's not happening. And I agree with you. I don't think that's happening. However, what about these teams like okay, so Washington goes quarterback. If we go quarterback, then Washington goes quarterback. What's the chance that New England says, "Hey, we'll move from 3 to 9 for Fields," and it's just so they get a quarterback. They're still picking in the top 10. Then that allows us.
Hold on a second. You're saying New England gives us the 3, they get 9 and Fields.
Fields, and then they have to, you know, throw in some picks in the back end, like, so we'll, you know, be upset about a 3 or a 4.
No shot. Why would New England want to take a guy who's going to get paid buku money right around the corner while they're trying to build their new program and give up a shot at Drake May or Jaden Daniels? They're getting one of the 3 quarterbacks. Why would they do that?
Hey, then I'm good with that. Okay, so then they get one of those quarterbacks. But then what I'm saying is, because you guys talked about it earlier, you're like, the odds of Marvin Harrison being off the board and Rome from Washington being off the board.
And okay, Malik Nabers.
Okay, so me, a win-win is we get Caleb Williams and we get one of those receivers. And if we're going to have to sit at 9 and not move up, is there a potential to use Fields to move up a spot or two to be able to nab one of those guys?
That would surprise me, because everything I've heard is you're not getting more than, in terms of what level pick, higher than a second round.
We appreciate the phone call.
I hope
Jeff.
He's right. That'd be awesome.
You know, it's so interesting he brought up New England, because I had a question. Someone texted somebody on the inside and said, if you were the GM in New England and I offered you Justin and the number 9 pick for the number 3 pick, would you do that? I'm just like, I like the where you, first of all, I like 1. And at 9, I can still get quality there. I don't have to make any moves at all in the first round if I'm Ryan Poles. I can get quality. First of all, I'm going to get the best of the best at 1. And at 9, if I need a receiver, he's right there.
Yeah, I'm hoping if there is a quarterback available at 9 that somebody wants, now I'm willing to listen. Oh, you want to come up and get a quarterback? Okay, here's the price.
Sure.
But if one of those receivers is there and I end up getting Caleb and an A-level receiver to play with DJ Moore, okay, I'm good.
Yeah.
Now or Brock Bowers from Notre Dame. I mean, from Georgia.
Yes.
The old tackle is from Notre Dame.
Who Waddle wanted as a freshman, Bowers.
Right.
Can we get him now? No,
he's only
Tom.
A freshman, Tom.
Tom fell in love with him immediately. He saw the skill set. And Bowers was just a puppy then. Now look at him. Well, he's going to be a monster on Sundays. I'm telling you. Brock Bowers is going to be a monster. Boy, he a safety valve for Georgia's offense. You throw it to Bowers, and he'd, again, a tight end that can make defenders miss because of how big he is. And he's still going to grow in that body. Oh, great hands, great legs. It's amazing. All right, one of the biggest stars in sports made history in Evanston last night. We discuss it coming up next. Shot or no shot at 8 o'clock, all part of a Deal Breakers Thursday on ESPN 1000 and 100.3 FM HD2.
Welcome back to Cap and J-Hood Experience. Weekdays from 7 to 10 on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Step back. She's comfortable already. 2 points to go. Caitlin. And she has officially moved on up in the record books, folks.
And Caitlin Clark just took it.
Caitlin Clark now the Big Ten's all-time leading scorer.
Caitlin Clark in our town in Evanston as Iowa defeats Northwestern in women's basketball last night. We're talking to you about it right here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Imagine, Cap, on a Wednesday night, Caitlin Clark comes to town and completely sold out at Welsh Ryan.
Tickets were for the center court seats going for $1,000. Shea went on right before the game to see if anything was available. Nothing. Zippo. I was thinking of taking Brett. I didn't, you know, realize when the game was. This is a while back. And I'm like, eh, maybe I can go. Made a few calls. They're like, dude, I got nothing for you. You try and get on the press pass list. And I'm like, nah, I'm taking Brett to dinner. So I had the game on TV last night. Peacock had some issues. Not your wife, Peacock, the channel.
No, she doesn't have issues. She's got subscriptions.
There you go. But Peacock had some broadcast issues, but that girl had 35 points. Didn't shoot the ball from three as well, but they blew out Northwestern, and it was sold freaking out.
Shay?
I was just going to say, I don't think I've ever seen anything like last night when I went on the app I usually go to buy tickets, secondary market. And I wasn't going to go. I was just curious. Like, what are they going for? About an hour before tip. And I click on the event, and it says, literally, we don't have anything.
Zero.
Zero tickets available. I'm like, what? I don't think I've ever seen that.
I'm so glad that we're in this renaissance, Cap, of women's athletes being able to be in a big spotlight. We were going through this the other day about the most popular college athletes. And so Shea said, well, you know, Arch Manning is in the team photo for sure, mm-hmm. you know, and so on the men's side. But when we take a look at the women, last Thursday, you were off. Last Thursday was South Carolina against LSU.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, South Carolina against, yeah, LSU. Yeah, LSU because of the coach with the glittery jacket.
Kim Mulkey.
Kim Mulkey, right? Yeah. That's box office right there because those two teams don't like each other. LSU, South Carolina, Thursday night. It drew about 2 million viewers on ESPN mm-hmm. just because of the matchup. But it's just the idea that you get an Angel Reese from LSU. You see a Caitlin Clark from Iowa. It's a must-watch for a lot of people because they know you're going to get a lot of action. And you're seeing greatness with some of these players. And so for the guy, you know, with, you know, driving around, you know, and thinking that, well, they shouldn't get the spotlight. Sure, they should get the spotlight. If you think about the most popular college athletes now, it is on the women's side of the ledger.
Caitlin Clark is by far the most popular college athlete in college sports today. And don't say Caleb Williams because he's not a college athlete anymore. He's already declared for the NFL. Arch Manning. Arch Manning appeared in two games. He's 2 of 5 in his career passing.
He's Arch
Manning. For 30 years. It doesn't matter.
No, but it's the marketing of the name, though. People are curious.
He's Arch Manning.
They're just curious.
He's not in the top 10.
It's false.
If I walked out here right now and took 10 people and said, do you identify as a sports fan? Yes. Who's Arch Manning? I don't know.
What?
Most people would say that. You're a diehard college fan.
Damn.
That's different.
People would know Arch Manning. You just say the last name. People would go, I did context clues. Yeah, I can figure out who that is.
Yeah, just people are just curious, though. You're talking about from a production standpoint. Yeah, it's about Paige Beckers, and it's about, you know, Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Yes. But just from the marketing standpoint, it's just the name. People are curious about what Arch Manning's going to look like.
College football fans. I think if you walked out here and go, are you a sports fan? Oh, yeah. Who's Arch Manning? I think you would get less than 50% would know who he was.
He's got the fourth biggest NIL deal in college sports.
Doesn't matter.
He what has do you mean?
The average casual fan. You're a diehard who knows who every recruit is. I'm talking about the average casual fan walking by here. If I said, are you a major sports fan? Oh, yeah, I love sports. Who is Arch Manning? They would be like, I don't know. Who is that? He's a recruit at the University of Texas who's the son of Cooper Manning, Peyton's brother.
Mm-hmm.
He's thrown five passes in his career. They will not know. Diehards, they'll know.
I might go out at the 8:30 break and ask people.
Oh my God!
Whenever it gets busy, I'm going to go out. I'm going to go ask people. That's a ridiculous statement. He's the fourth biggest earner in college sports.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he's some nobody.
I guess to put a bow
my
on it.
My wife is a diehard sports fan. If I call her right now and said, hey, honey. Oh, God, I forgot to wake her up. She asked me to wake her up. She had a meeting. Damn it.
Cap.
If I asked her, she'd be like, who? I've never heard of him.
So congratulations to Caitlin Clark, the number two all-time scorer in D1 history, Caitlin Clark. One of the all-time greats based on the numbers, Cap. There's no question about that. But again, we talk about where the popularity of college athletics are. It's on the women's side. It is. And that's where the college basketball, there's certain games and certain players you just want to see. And I'm very happy to see the page turn on that. All right, we've got Shot or No Shot. That's in 2 minutes on Cap and J-Hood.